We're coming to the end of our little study on things that ruin God's servants. Discussed a number of things, and tonight our study is going to be a little bit different in that the subject matter is one of those things that is an either-or thing. In our previous studies, for example, we dealt with the issue of laziness. And if you're lazy, well, that can lead to ruin. Tonight we're going to deal with the issue of anger. And anger can lead to ruin. But unlike all the other ones, a lack of anger can also lead to ruin. So it's going to add a little bit of a different dynamic to our study tonight. In order to make this a little less confusing, let me give you a definition that I have concocted myself. Anger is the emotion generated by the perception of wrong being committed against someone. Now, that someone can be someone else or yourself, that drives one to seek perceived justice. Let me break down the definition. It is an emotion. It is a God-given emotion. An emotion that is generated when we perceive that something is being done to somebody that is wrong. Now that in and of itself necessitates a standard of right and wrong. And that's why the word perceived is up there. If the standard is a right standard, then the perception will be a right perception. If, on the other hand, the standard is a wrong standard, then what you perceive really shouldn't be causing anger. And then, secondly, it's being committed against someone that drives one to seek perceived justice. Okay, I see a wrong that's going on here. I get angry. It prompts me to action to correct that injustice. Well, obviously, if my perceived right and wrong is wrong, then it's going to probably lead to wrong behavior. Or even if I'm perceiving something that truly should cause me to be angry, if I don't handle it properly, well, then we have problems. So we want to deal with this tonight, and consequently, out of that definition, there are two types of anger. The first is righteous anger. Righteous anger is when the perception of wrong being committed is truly wrong. We start with a standard, and obviously for our purposes tonight, that standard is the Bible standard. This God has declared to be right. This God has declared to be wrong. And when those rights and wrongs are violated, then we perceive that something is truly wrong. And the activity to attain justice is truly just. For example, I love to pick on Glenn because he can handle it. I perceive that Matthew's picking on him. Matthew is just tormenting poor Glenn, sitting there trying to mind his own business tonight, behaving himself, which is a rarity. I mean, which is his normal behavior. And poor Matthew over there, he is just not letting Glenn alone. And I look over and I give Matthew a stare. Okay, what you're doing is not right. But Matthew keeps on doing it. And I'm getting really, really angry because poor Glenn's, he listens to every word that I say. He hangs on every word. He just practically worships me. It's just wonderful to have a friend like that.
Pastor, we were talking about truth this
morning. Let me talk about Jack. So I'm getting really angry with Matthew here, and I said, I've had enough. Bang! You're dead. Now, maybe what I perceived of the injustice was perceived correctly, but how I handled justice certainly wasn't. So, righteous anger is having a right standard and then acting in a right way. Unrighteous anger is when the perception is wrong and the activity of seeking justice is wrong. Which is what I just demonstrated there. Sometimes in this crazy mixed up world, people will have you display your anger in ways that just do nothing to seek justice. You get angry at what's going on at work, or you get angry at someone in your house or wherever the thing may be, and you don't want to seek a solution to the problem, but you vent. I'll take my fist and I'll put it through the wall. Well, what did the wall do other than wreck your hand? But I feel better. I vented my anger. Or you take a pillow and you beat the stuffing out of the pillow so that you don't mess up your hand. Well, what did the pillow do? And you feel better for the immediate time. But the problem is you've done nothing to exact justice. And the problem still remains. And therefore, you haven't accomplished anything. That would be unrighteous anger. Did you know that anger, if it is a God-given attribute, is an attribute of God? Yes. One of my favorite psalms, or one of my easiest to remember psalms, is Psalm 7:11. Because, thank heaven for 7:11. And it says this: God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked. Every once in a while. Every day. Well, he's angry with the wicked. Why? Because they're wicked. Why are they wicked? They violated a biblical standard. Now, how is God angry with the wicked every day? Well, does he, annihilate the wicked? Well, we still have politicians. So that's not the case. God is also a merciful God, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But anger is an attribute of God. Generally, we tend to think of anger as something on the negative side. Well, it's not. It can't be. It is if it's handled incorrectly. Would you believe that anger is a ministry of the Holy Spirit? Bet you never thought of that one before. But back in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 11, the Spirit of God came upon King Saul. And when he heard these tidings, and his anger was greatly kindled. Now, what you had were the Ammonites, and they were attacking one of the towns in Israel. And the Israelites said, well, we'd rather make a peace treaty with you. And they said, well, we'll make peace with you. We'll spare your lives if we can poke out the right eye of every male that's among you. And they said, we better think about that one. And word got back to King Saul. And when this word reached him, the Spirit of God came upon him and caused him to be angry. Angry is not only an attribute of God, it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we fail to get angry, we are grieving the Spirit of God. Not only is it an attribute of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's a command of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry. Don't sin. There's a right way and a wrong way of handling anger. But if God is angry, then you need to be followers of God, imitators of God, and that there are certain things we need to be angry about. That's commanded. When the servant of God fails to be angry at unrighteousness, it won't move them to proper action. And consequently, ministry is ruined. What causes anger? Why should we get angry? Or why shouldn't we get angry? Two things. Number one, an appreciation of truth. Starts there. Remember, anger is an emotion that moves us when we perceive injustice. Injustice requires a standard of truth. Well, if we don't appreciate truth, then our standard gets corrupted. Well, there's something going on, but why should I get involved? For truth's sake. That's why you should get involved. Or, if your standard is corrupted, we get angry at the least little thing. And while God is a God who is angry with the wicked every day, He is also a God who is slow to anger. He is a God who is forgiving and merciful. And we don't recognize those truths sometimes. Secondly, a love for people. When anger is handled unrighteously, because our love for people is missing or is corrupted. God so loved the world. That's a verse I heard. John 3:16. Yeah, that's right. Heard that once or twice before. What's John 3:17? Isn't that interesting? We all know John 3:16. What's John 3:17? Got one over here that knows it. Thank you, Dave. He didn't come to condemn the world. He could have, couldn't he? The world was condemnable. But God so loved that He didn't condemn, but He came so that we might be saved. He had such a love for you and I that the anger that He had, now, that anger was all met in the person of Jesus Christ for our sins. Now, the person who rejects Jesus Christ is creating more anger. And that justice will be given one day. The anger of God will be abated in a just way. Justice will be served. But He has a love for people. Have you ever heard this? Parents should not discipline their children when they're angry. You've heard that? Is that true? No, it's not true. No, in fact, it's the farthest thing from truth. Oh, I'm not angry, but I'm going to discipline you. Why? If you're not angry with me, would you discipline me? That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. Parents should not discipline when they are only angry and not balanced with the love of God. You see, if a child does wrong and needs correction, needs punishment for what they've done, and all you have is love, oh, I love you so much, I'm not going to do it. Do you know what you've just created? A criminal, I was going to say. Yeah, you can disobey authority without consequence. What are you creating? You're creating a criminal. On the other hand, if there's no love, you're creating a person who has no purpose in living. Discipline is handled when love and anger are in balance. What are the consequences of being consumed with unrighteous anger? It creates strife, which eventually leads to sin. I'm going to have a bunch of verses for you, but I want you to look at one. Genesis chapter 4. The rest of them I'll put up on the screen here for you, but I thought this one would be an easy one to find, and we'll just look at this one, and the rest I'll just give you. Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very, the word is wroth, or the meaning of the word is angry. I mean, he was angry. He was hopping mad. And his countenance fell. Well, why? Well, the Lord didn't like my offering. And He liked my brother's. Kind of the Smothers Brothers things. God always liked you best. So what he had here is a wrong or an unrighteous standard. See, he violated the thing because they were supposed to bring a blood sacrifice. Well, he didn't bring that. So he already had a wrong standard there. And then he had this thing, well, God didn't accept my offering, so he's not accepting me. That's not what the verse says. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth or angry, and why is thy countenance falling? If you do well, if you do what's right, if you get the standard of righteousness correct, hey, I'll accept you. It's not a problem. But you've got to do right. And if thou doest not well, well, sin lies at the door. And you know what happened? Rather than correcting his standard of righteousness and doing right and acting justly, when he had the opportunity, what came of the relationship between Cain and Abel? Murder. Proverbs chapter 29, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. When anger is not dealt with in a proper way, or if you fail to get angry when you should, it's going to lead to problems. And those problems are going to lead to sin. That's all there is to it. Second consequence of unrighteous anger is a loss of relationships. It'll break down a relationship. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23, the north wind drives away rain, so doth an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue. When a person is angry, usually the first evidences of it are not in what they do, but what they say. I won't pick on Glenn anyway. I'm going to pick on Merle. You no good person. I don't know why you even live. I'm angry with you. I don't know why I'm angry with you, but I'm just picking on you. Pretty close. Well, then I better move away. Anger usually manifests itself first in what a person says. Now, I start calling him names. And you're sitting there, and fortunately you know this is all being made up. There's no truth whatsoever to it. But let's say it was true. How would you feel when I start calling you no good and untrustworthy and reprobate and any bad adjective that I can think of? I think you would get ticked. Why? You should. Because I just violated a right standard. But I keep it up. Now what are you going to do? You're going to retaliate, yes. We're going to have problems here. Fortunately, my wife will stick up for me. After I take her out for lunch tomorrow. Unrighteous anger breaks down relationships. If I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to an unsaved person and I have an angry spirit, how willing are they going to be to listen to me? It's just not going to work. Third consequence of anger is then a loss of ministry opportunity. In order to have opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity, a person's emotions need to be kept in check. Titus chapter 3 and verse, or Titus chapter 1 verse 7, speaking of the office of an elder or bishop, must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. In other words, you've got to be able to be angry at the right time in the right way and demonstrate some spiritual maturity. And when that's not the case, well, there's one ministry that a person couldn't participate in. And that just serves as a guideline. How do we get a handle on anger. How do we know when to become angry and when not to be angry? When we are angry, how to express that angry to accomplish justice? Four things that I want to conclude with here tonight. Number one, need to learn to control your spirit. It can be done. How many times have you heard a person say, "Oh, I got so mad I couldn't control myself"? You can. Do you ever get into an argument with somebody, husband, wife type thing, child, parent type thing, or whatever, maybe it's in a work situation, it's employer, employee type thing, and you're really going at it. I mean, it's an argument. It's starting to get heated, and you're really going after each other, and the phone rings. Hello. What'd you do? You just controlled your emotions. In the midst of the most heated discussion where anger is being vented, you just controlled your emotions. I couldn't do it. Yes, you could. You just didn't want to. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that taketh a city." I mean, to conquer a city takes a lot of power, doesn't it? But the person who can control his own spirit is mightier than that person, a conqueror. There you go. Number one, get a control of your spirit. That's what God said to Cain. Cain, look, get a handle on this. If you don't get a handle on this, it's going to lead to problems. But you can do it. Well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Just think when you start to get angry, the phone might ring at any moment. If you can control it then, you can control it any other time. Number two, learn to seek truth. If anger is based on the violation of something that is righteous, make sure you learn to seek what is true, what is righteous. John chapter 7, verse 24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Don't accept everything that you hear. What is it? Only believe 50% of what you see and nothing of what you hear or something. Isn't that the old thing? And 0% of what's on the internet, which includes polls. Seek truth. Oh, someone said this about you. Well, before I get angry about that situation, I better go find out if that was what was really said. Was it said in the context of something different than what I'm hearing it now? Find out truth. God always judges righteously. He has all the facts, not some of them. And consequently, when he expresses his anger, he's able to do so according to a standard of absolute truth. Number three, learn to express truth. Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turns away wrath or anger, but grievous words stir up anger." Premarital counseling, I use this in my study on communication skills. And here's what happens. We have a discussion that's going on between a husband and a wife, and they're at odds. Somehow the wife doesn't realize that her husband is always right. And all the men said, and all the women said. But because you're not getting through, the tone and the volume of your voice goes up. And because now the tone and volume of this person's voice has gone up, to counter that one, this person goes here. Before you know it, the emotions are just raging out of control. A soft answer turns away wrath. Hold it. Hold the bus. I encourage my counselees, when this gets to that point, time out. it's getting out of control. Strife is going to lead to, well, anger leads to strife. Strife leads to sin. Before this gets sinful, let's stop. I love you. I want what is right. Let's think about this and come back when the emotions have settled down. Learn to express truth. And then finally, learn to love people. God said to Jonah, remember the story in Jonah how he was sent to Nineveh and he didn't want to go because those Ninevites, they were ungodly people. And after all, David said of you, Lord, you're angry with the wicked every day. And we should be angry with them, shouldn't we? Well, yeah. Where's the love? Well, not them. Love your people, Lord, not those people. Well, they are my people. He wasn't getting the message. And finally he goes and he preaches to them and they repent and they avert the judgment of God. And Jonah's there and, oh, I told you this was going to happen. I knew it was like you, God, to forgive like that. Come on. And he goes out and he's just burning up under the sun. And this gourd grows up and provides shade. And Jonah says, man, you know what? I deserve that shade. Here am I, the servant of God, and I'm doing the will of God, and God's messing up the plan, and it's about time I got some relief. And then all of a sudden, the gourd dies away, and Jonah's angry. And God says to him, did you do well to be angry for the gourd? Ouch. See, you loved that thing, but it was a gourd. It wasn't a person. How much more do I love people? And when we get a hold of the love of God for people and balance that with the justice of God for truth, then anger will be expressed rightly. We will get angry at the things we should get angry at. And when we do, we'll express them in a right way. One of the things that just burdens my heart, troubles me, is we've gotten to a place in our society today, and I'm seeing a lot of this on the internet. So-and-so just blew away so-and-so in this argument. And I'm saying, why do they want to blow them away? Aren't we supposed to be redeeming people? Not blowing them away? Blow away the argument. Yes, that's right. But restore the person. And that's where the love of God comes in. Be angry at the things we need to be angry with. Don't just pass them off because the servant of God has to be angry. That's God is angry. But express that anger righteously. And we will accomplish the will of God. Let's pray. Father, correct our thinking on this subject of anger by instilling in us a greater desire for truth, for love and compassion, for the attributes of a God who is angry in the right way. May we be examples of you in this crazy, mixed-up world around us. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good week.